This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A damning report from the Department of Justice accuses the Minneapolis Police Department of a pattern of discrimination and abuse against racial minorities. CBS's Jeff Pegues reports on the results of a years-long investigation.
More than 3 years after the murder of George Floyd at the hands of former police officer Derek Chauvin, Attorney General Merrick Garland said systemic abuses by police led to his death.
We found that the Minneapolis Police Department routinely uses excessive force, often when no force is necessary.
More severe weather from Colorado to Florida is in the forecast this weekend. Storms, including deadly tornadoes, have already moved through a stretch from Texas to Florida. More from CBS's Omar Villafranca in Texas.
Parts of the panhandle in pieces after a tornado a quarter of a mile wide tore through the small city of Perryton, Texas, Thursday afternoon, wiping out row after row of homes and businesses.
Part of our roof is gone, just a lot of damage.
In its path, a mobile home park that officials say took a direct hit.
A truck driver who barged into a synagogue in Pittsburgh in 2018 and killed 11 congregants has been convicted of all 63 criminal counts he faced. Details from our Christopher Cruz.
The guilty verdicts were never in doubt. The gunman's own lawyers conceded at the beginning of the trial that their client, armed with an AR-15 rifle and other weapons, attacked and killed worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue.
The verdict here demonstrates a level of accountability that hopefully will make people feel just a little bit better.
Siegel, vice president of the Anti-Defamation League's Center on Extremism.
When there's accountability for hate and violence, that's always an important message.
Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
A Michigan man arrested by feds is accused of threatening online to carry out a mass casualty attack on a synagogue in East Lansing. Feds say 19-year-old Sean Patrick Pytilla communicated neo-Nazi-style ideology and anti-Semitism. Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers to the New York Times and other publications in 1971 regarding deceptions about the Vietnam War, has died at 92. CBS's David Martin looks back.
The leak was a bombshell, which led to a Supreme Court decision upholding the right of news organizations to publish the papers over the objections of the Nixon administration. Ellsberg might have gone to jail had a judge not dismissed the charges after operatives from the Nixon White House burglarized his psychiatrist's office. Ellsberg remained a free man, and the papers he leaked became the foundation on which countless histories of the Vietnam War have been written. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight, except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
It's time you checked out Champion's Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champion's is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champion's Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champion's Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
How many plays have you done over the years?
Oh, many. Many, many, many.
Would you do another one? Should we do a play? And put it up somewhere and do it as like a fundraiser someday?
That'd be great.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinere. And while we spent the first hour largely talking about my anger over not funding childcare,
you're not alone.
This state, we now move to a little bit older, still talking about kids, but now talking about how we feed kids once they're in schools. And so here to talk about that with us is Caitlin Harrison, who is the president of the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin and the director of food service at the Elmbrook School District. Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I can certainly empathize with that previous conversation. I have two little girls and one on the way. So
you're pregnant
too? It's tough out there.
Yeah. What do you do? I'm due in October.
Excellent. I'm end of September. So
there you go. We're right around the same time. Oh, so you'll have three. And how three under how old?
5, 3, and then baby. Yeah, crazy times.
Man, so you know the child care situation much more intimately than I do.
Yeah, it's tough out there. It's tough.
It is tough out there. But it is also tough as far as when we talk about school nutrition. As
absolutely.
You know, it's something that I think back, I'd like the milk, you know, we joke about the milk pouches and little carrots and stuff like that. And so I was so interested in this because I know for a while that there's been, since during the pandemic, there was talks about free lunch for all. And so I wanted to talk to you just kind of about, in general, where we're at with school nutrition in Wisconsin. So let's start at the very beginning and just kind of talk about what is school nutrition? What is the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin?
Sure. So what we are is a collaborative of school nutrition professionals across the state. So that could be anywhere from somebody who's a dishwasher in a building to a cook to a manager or director. So any of those folks, sometimes we see school business directors also join our association. So it's just a place for us to meet and have professional development. Our mission is to use our collaborative voice to advocate for quality nutrition for all children. So that has an impact across the board with whether it's a dishwasher, like I said, somebody on the serving line, or somebody like myself in a director position.
And so, I mean, you probably talk about this all the time, but for people who don't always, it's been a while either since they've had kids in school or they themselves have been in school, but what, like, can you explain how nutrition is such an integral part to education? Because I think sometimes people lose sight of that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I believe, and a lot of my colleagues and teachers, they can see it firsthand that a student can't learn in the classroom unless they're prepared and have a meal in their stomach. A lot of times, it's kind of a sad story, but a lot of times we see kids showing up on Monday morning who haven't had a meal literally all weekend.
Oh my God.
They're their first contact. They're running in to see us for breakfast and they can't can't wait to come back for lunch. And so I always give the example, like, how would you be able to focus at your desk or at your job if you are starving? I know I get hangry and I cannot focus. And so think about those little kids who already have a challenged attention span. And all they can think about is how hungry they are. So really, we believe that we're the foundation of education because they can't do any of that learning until they have proper nutrition to fuel them for the day.
And what is the current status of nutrition in Wisconsin? Like, as far as both what is served, what is the kind of the obstacles to making sure that there is balanced meals available? And that's not even just the cost of them, but just kind of like, what is served these days to make sure that they're getting a balanced meal?
Yeah. So if you are part of what is called the National School Lunch or School Breakfast Program, then you have to abide by certain regulations that the USDA sets forth. And so what that looks like in a high level is we have sodium restrictions. Everything we serve has to be whole grain rich. We have fat limitations. So saturated fat can't exceed 10% of our total calories. We cannot serve any trans fats. We have to serve an array of fruits and vegetables every week. And then of course there's calorie limits that we have to abide by depending on the age of the student. So there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes of feeding their kids, and making sure that they're getting a full healthy meal every day.
And so what, cause there's a new, I think legislation or at least a proposal as far as healthy school meals in all in Wisconsin for all in Wisconsin. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, our association has been working on this for quite a while. Of course, over the COVID years, we had 2 years of funding that allowed us to serve every meal for free to students in the state of Wisconsin. And so then as of this school year, the 22-23 school year, that ended, that went away. So students were back to either paying full price or they had to qualify for their free or reduced meal benefit. And so we've been working since that the end, and actually since before that, to advocate to make sure that every kid, regardless of income in the state, has access to a healthy, nutritious meal. We were really excited when Governor Evers included it in his budget proposal for the state, including some additional breakfast funding to make sure that we have the resources we needed to serve kids. Heartbroken the last couple of days as that was, of course, cut out amongst many other things. But we were just excited to see it in the budget and see that we had some backing of some of our state leaders. Unfortunately, you know, politics are politics, and I don't know how you could turn down a student and supplying them with a free meal, but here we are. So
here we are.
That's kind of where we're at. Our state representatives who are very supportive of this are planning to reintroduce a bill in fall as the school year kicks off. So we're hoping to gain momentum until that point so that we can get more support. Healthy School Meals for All is a coalition that we work with in SNA Wisconsin to help get to all different aspects and all different organizations across the state to really build this up and make sure it happens.
Because it's one of those things where the actual logistics, I think people don't understand. And I only learned this through following this, because this has kind of been a conversation for a while. Like, we're recording our show from Waukesha right now, which, you know, famously made national news when their school board did not want to give handouts to kids. And then there was they reversed that decision. But because what I read, and especially when I think it was a WPR article where you were quoted in it, that there was a family who, because as it is right now, there is an income threshold as far as there was a hard income threshold that if you make this or less, you qualify for free or reduced lunch. If you make even $5 more, it's a hard cutoff. And you had a family that you had to cut off, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's more than just one family, and there's certainly families that we're just not aware of. But I believe the statistic is if you, as a family of four, make $35,000 and some change, you don't qualify for free or reduced price meals, which is wild to me because I think about my family of four and I can't even imagine trying to live off of that amount of money, let alone serving food to my kids. So yeah, it's very challenging. And we don't even hear about a lot of families who are too proud to apply for free or reduced meals, who you can see the income guidelines. So maybe they're making their own determination and not even applying. But there are so many stories like that, that families are just over that income guideline and there's no assistance for them, unfortunately.
Because then doesn't it all, because basically that's what it happens. If they don't qualify for those programs, even if they are not making a lot of money, it's either they still have to figure out how to pack a lunch, they have to pay for lunch, or kids just don't eat, right?
Yep, absolutely. And a lot of those students we see still coming to school hungry. And then that falls on the back of the schools, right? So it's either a school nutrition challenge or it's a school challenge, because I've seen countless teachers who go and buy granola bars or string cheese, or they have it in the office for a kid who comes in and complains that they have a stomach ache. Well, it's because they haven't eaten in how many hours or days. So it's not, there's still a cost to it, right? And somebody is footing that cost. It's just, why aren't we doing that as a whole for our state, and really impacting so many students that we know we miss? We couldn't even quantify that number because we don't force every family to apply for free or reduced meals. Yeah. So there's certainly a bunch of families that could be qualifying and we're just unaware of that.
Because it's totally opt-in, right? And so it's like, but like you said, it's either pride or potentially not even knowing that it exists.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So, you know, that's one of the things that we do is we try and promote our programs to the best of our ability. Unfortunately, it also takes work with our buildings and our districts to help spread that word and make sure that families are aware of what benefits are available to them too.
Our guest is Caitlin Harrison, who is the president of School Nutrition of the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin and the director of food service at the Elmbrook School District. We got to take a short break. When we come back, I also just want to talk about the logistics and the obstacles it creates on the administration side, because it basically forces all of you to be like, you know, bookies who are coming after kids like school debt, which is like a terrible way, but it does, right? And so we'll talk more about the advantages of what this actually, if we would have funded it in the school, in the state budget, if we could get this passed in the next couple years, what that could look like for all kids, with our guest, Caitlin Harrison. But stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be back after the break.
And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rosie, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 50 overnight, under clear skies, northerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 78. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Mainly clear again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 55. Mainly cloudy Sunday. Decreasing clouds by Monday. Upper 70s Sunday. Low 80s by Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. 1-844-967-2789. A couple of things have really frosted me. It's not just Trump. It's the people in the Republican Party that are shutting down our government, hurting the United States because of the Trump indictment and because of other things they don't agree with. And let me give you a couple of examples. J.D. Vance, who is a senator from Ohio, I beat Tim Ryan. Tim Ryan was an excellent guy, excellent Democratic congressman. Came close but no cigar, close counts in horseshoes, close counts in hand grenades, and that's all that close counts in. J.D. Vance is such a disgusting sycophant around Trump that he has now said that he will shut down the DOJ. Now, what does he mean by that? How's he going to shut down the DOJ? He said what he's going to do is refuse to let any confirmation, which the Senate has to do, for any personnel required to be confirmed by the Senate for the DOJ. Those are U.S. attorneys in all the states. If there's any new one, he's not going to get confirmed. And then the senior people in the Justice Department. Now, how can he do that? How can he do that? Because the senators are 100 little Lord Fauntleroys, little Lady Fauntleroys, and they have given each other a power that is not in the Constitution, and that, in my view, is impliedly unconstitutional. And it says that any senator, now remember what bad senators, we have some crooked senators. We have senators who would love to stab the United States. Josh Hawley of Missouri, for instance, or J.D. Vance. Any one of them can say, I want the proceedings to grind to a halt, and I want 3 days of debate, at least, on everything, even procedural motions, even confirmations of a U.S. attorney in Wyoming. And Tommy Tuberville, the guy from Alabama, continues to refuse to confirm any promotion in the military at the flag officer level. He refuses to let them vote on confirmation of the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. J.D. Vance wants Jack Smith, to dismiss the indictment. And Tuberville wants the Justice Department to apply the prohibition against abortion among its troops. That is the law in Alabama. Now, what does it mean to say that Little Lord Fauntleroys have given each other this power? First of all, you never, in fact, here's the thing. A guy I love is Bernie Sanders. Old Bernie's an old shrew, an old hound dog. I love the guy. Bernie Sanders said he will not permit any appointments in the Department of Health unless the Biden administration does something on prescription drugs that they've tried to do, and he's gotten an awful lot done, but it does not enough to satisfy Bernie. You can't have this. So what would happen is if a guy is up for appointment as a U.S. attorney in Chicago, and somebody else is up for appointment as an admiral or a general, there is a symbolic thing that is said. We ask unanimous consent for voice vote. Vance would raise his hand, or Tuberville, and say, no, you don't have my consent. All right, you want to speak about it? Yes, he can speak as long as he wants. He could speak for a week if he could stay awake. Then he could cede the time. This is like the old filibuster. Vance and Tuberville go back and forth. There are over 200 flag officers that are not being promoted when the Ruskies and the Chi-Coms are after us. And it's not just that, but all of them are overseeing other promotions where the families of these officers are supposed to move to a new location. And they can't. They're in limbo. All because of the vanity of 100 Fauntleroys. Have you heard any of these senators criticize Vance or Tuberville? Even a single one, Democrat or Republican? No, you haven't. Tuberville is the guy who said that a white supremacist is just a Republican who supports Trump. That's what he said. He said white supremacists are American. Going quick to the lines, we're getting a call. Don in Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Don?
Hi, thank you for your time, and thanks to the listeners for listening to a great program. You've got an excellent program there. I got through the White House when Trump was president for the 3.5 years till COVID got out of hand, and I told Trump's family, his staff, and his dedicated workers that I carry 90,000 votes to get him elected the second term. But I told Trump's family and staff, I says, certain people working for the White House are making a bad name for you and your country. I said, you're not going to get elected. And at the end, only 6 people out of 90,000 would actually vote for him. But you have
what group do you control? What's the 90,000?
People that have moral conscience for this country, that have respect.
Well, the point is, though, that I think you're making a point that even people who might be on the conservative side, who might normally vote Republican, at some point are not going to vote for this kind of conduct on the part of Donald Trump. Thank you for your call. And then I'm going to finish on my other segment before we go to the break. You cannot have a Senate unconstitutionally letting all 100 kissing each other's behinds to stop everything. And they're doing it. The whole idea behind that rule in the 19th century was that you had people of character who would exercise it cautiously. That's got to be eliminated. It's unconstitutional. Somebody's got to stand up and say, we need these promotions. We need these confirmations. These garbage senators should not be permitted to do this. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Come together.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News brief. After the death of George Floyd, the Justice Department accuses the Police Department of Minneapolis of a pattern of discrimination against Black and Native American people. Reaction, Police Chief Brian O'Hara.
We will change the narrative around policing in this city. We will emerge as a beacon of light for the rest of the world.
There are tornado warnings out in a number of states, Colorado, Mississippi, and Texas, where a Thursday twister's blame for taking 3 lives and causing much damage.
I was in God's hands, and whatever happened would be the will of his.
The man accused of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue has been convicted. Next up, his punishment, death or life in prison, no parole.
After 4.5 years, the world has heard again about the horrific acts on October 27, 2018. And the shooter is being held accountable for those awful acts.
Joe Recht is president of one of the congregations that shared the Tree of Life Synagogue. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council. Serve with your favorite toppings on it.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was a conviction that just came in that is absolutely correct. And this is a larger issue I want to talk about right now. Robert Bowers, a vicious murderer who killed 11 worshipers at the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue, was found guilty on all 63 charges. He now goes to the penalty phase. And what's that? That's the second trial, so to speak, where the jury is going to choose between life in prison and the death penalty. Still have the death penalty there. We do not have the death penalty in Wisconsin. It was eliminated in 1858, but Pennsylvania hasn't. A lot of states have it. This is a guy who just murdered 11 people. And the larger issue I want to talk about right now, and one of the feeders to it, I think, is at least the perception of increasing anti-Semitism in our society, and of course, racism in general, But anti-Semitism in particular is what I want to talk about. There have been a series of incidents in suburban Milwaukee high schools or ex-urban high schools. I won't go into the names of all of them, but they have been really, really disturbing. There have been people who have painted swastikas. There are people who have traced swastikas in dust on lockers. There was one, it was a couple of years ago, and there was a girls team came up from Beloit to play a team, I think it was in Elkhorn, and the crowd started to chant, "Build the wall, build the wall." And these girls from Beloit started to cry. These were sixth grade girls, and they had to stop the game. There was a basketball game recently, suburban high school, and people were shouting and grunting racist slogans from the crowd. What disturbs me is the complete lack of response from the administrations of these high schools. And I have something to say about that, and here's what it is. In every school where something like that happens, kids are impressionable. They look up to certain people. In every school where this happens, I would have the wrestling coach, the football coach, and the principal call an assembly. And you tell them flat out, we do not tolerate this. We're all Americans. Many of you will go into the service and be shipmates, squad mates. You'll serve on juries together. We're all Americans. We're not going to be divided. And if this ever happens, we're going to find out who did it. They will be disciplined. They may not play for an athletic team. They may not get a recommendation to college that they wanted. We will not tolerate it. We will not tolerate it. And when you have people of that stature who are looked up to by the student body, wrestling coach, football coach, or the principal, they have to be told in no uncertain words that this is not cool. Now, what has been the response of some of these high schools? It's been pathetic. One of them said, well, you know, we talked to the referees. I don't think they were racist grunts and slogans. I think they were something else. Yeah, there were swastikas traced in the on the lockers in the dust, but we don't know who did it. Well, I don't care who did it. Speak out about it. Yeah, they were, you know, but, you know, boys will be boys. No, boys will not be boys. Not if the wrestling coach, the football coach, and the principal tells them how they should be men. This is part of a larger phenomenon in society right now, and it would be naive to overlook it, which is there's been such an increase in violent talk in our politics, violent talk. And there are a lot of dog whistles said about elites and this kind of thing. I have this message for the Republican Party. Shut up. There are many of you in the Republican Party who are good people. And I mentioned Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger. I believe that Mitt Romney is. Bill of Economwalk in the past has mentioned icons. Dwight Eisenhower was an icon. Even Ronald Reagan, whether you disagree on a lot of issues, Tommy Thompson, they didn't do this kind of stuff. This stuff is being done now. And it's disgusting. And it's time that people speak out. And this is happening in our suburban high schools. And there's not a, you can see the extension to like the guy who is Bowers, who killed these people in Pittsburgh. No, the kids in high school aren't going to kill anybody, but they laugh about it. They joke about it. They ostracize. It's got to stop. We're not putting up with it. And that message has got to get out loud and clear. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Mark.
Thanks so much, Matt, for talking about this. I mean, as far as the people that are speaking out, interfering with the military promotions and such in Congress, that if any of those people were involved in the January 6th attack and the fake elector scandal, they should just be trying to prosecute them now, arrest them and throw them in the hoose skull. And for the whole anti-Semitism thing, and it relates to the whole, fear of the immigrant and fear of the other. And what people have forgotten that during the 1960s, there's a large contingent of the Jewish community that were supporting equal rights in the South, going down South and protesting alongside our Black brothers and sisters for equal rights. And recently, I saw that the Japanese, the descendants of the Japanese who were interred in the camps during World War II, were protesting the treatment of the immigrants at the border, particularly the children being put in cages and with little space blankets and just inadequately housed. And they're protesting that type of behavior because they experienced what turned out to be very anti-American behavior out of fear on the part of America when we interred American citizens based on their ancestry. I mean, this is a old problem, but we have to continually remind people that it is wrong, wrong, wrong. Anti-Semitism and racism and that in any of its forms has got to be combated. And people have to open their mouths and condemn it. I mean, that the cowardice on the behalf of the politicians are they're refusing to condemn this hateful rhetoric out there has got to be highlighted. I mean, that nobody should be approving Donald Trump's speech when he's, generating this hate speech. I mean, the fact that they're not, the moral cowardice that they're exhibiting in not condemning Donald Trump's speech and condemning the speech of anybody who talks like this is got to get called out. Pure and simple.
Thanks very much, Mark. Excellent call as always, my friend. Thank you. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Happy Friday. In this state, you don't have to look any further than the Ron Johnson campaign against Mandela Barnes. I will admit, Mandela Barnes' campaign manager should never run another campaign again because it was a pathetic run campaign. But it's still, what Ron Johnson did to Mandela Barnes, that is got racism all over it, especially with the Waukesha parade and coloring his skin and everything else. So, you don't have to look any further than this state. That was just a terrible, terrible. You know, it's one thing to run on what you've done for people, and it's a whole another thing to tear somebody apart like Ron Johnson did. So that's my take on a Friday, and thank you.
Yeah, that's an excellent comment, Wisco Paul. Thanks very much. Right. Ron Johnson, in his campaign, they darkened Mandela's skin. Now, I mean, not that I care one way or the other about what it is, but they did that deliberately. And they also did it in Georgia. They also did it to the senator in Georgia. They've done it elsewhere. That's a tactic that is being used. That should be rejected by the Republican Party. The Republican chairman or the chairwoman of the Republican Party should say that there is no place in our party for that kind of conduct, none whatsoever. And you're right, with Mandela, the other one was the Christmas parade. The fellow there was an African-American, the murderer, terrible guy, vicious son of a gun. He'll be in jail the rest of his life. Disgusting individual. But he had nothing to do with Mandela Barnes. Mandela Barnes, not a lawyer, wasn't involved in the case. There was nothing at all. They just put the pictures, they juxtaposed them together. And the message was, this is a heinous crime. And there's somebody who looks like him, especially if we darken his skin a little bit. And so let's stick a knife in him too. That's what happened. But this is real. I remember, do you remember the shooting in El Paso a couple of years? The guy drove, I think, from Fort Worth. He drove like 12 hours to target a Latino grocery store. I mean, he went 12 hours. And it was quite clear when they interrogated him that he had been radicalized by some of the political talk that is being done. Let me tell you something from personal experience. When you're younger, you're in high school and you're growing up, you don't realize how important the unity of the country is. Abraham Lincoln in the 1858 Senate race against Douglas in Illinois said, "A house divided itself against itself cannot stand. We've got to settle this slavery issue once and for all and abolish slavery." A house divided against itself cannot stand. We take a lot for granted. But if you serve in our military is a cohesive unit of people who get along no matter what race your commanding officer is or what faith your commanding officer is. If he gives you an order, you obey it. And if you give an order to the people below you, there's a reason for it. They obey it. And everybody gets along. The one thing about the military that's frequently maligned and that really bothers me is that somehow you think, oh, it's conservative and all that. Let me tell you something. We have gone to the military and told them to integrate the military, to have no more discrimination against gays, put women in combat, all this stuff. And they did it. And they did it terrifically, and it worked. And so when you see politicians for political advantage, they think for political advantage, short-term political advantage, pitting people against each other like this, it's not only wrong, it's not only immoral, but in the long run, it destroys America because you are driving wedges in our society all through the country in every level of endeavor. So I'll leave it at that, but I appreciate the calls. And this Bowers, the murderer, has been convicted on all 63 charges. And one interesting thing I'll leave you with. I've tried cases for a long time, and I've seen juries come back, and the judge will say sometimes, "Is that your verdict?" And they'll nod, or, you know, and then the other counsel who lost will say, "Well, I want on the record," and each one are Mr. Jones, or sometimes they don't say their names if they're confidential. "Is that your verdict?" "Yes, sir." "Yeah." In this one, apparently, and I just read this, I haven't seen any kind of video on it, the people emphatically and proudly said it was their verdict. In other words, not just "yes, sir," it's "yes, it is." And this is all the jurors. People are tired of this, and people like that who do those kinds of things are listening to stimulus from people who are trying to divide our country, and I'm damn tired of it. And I think that message has got to go out. No ifs, ands, or buts. You can have disagreements over issues, you can have disagreements over a lot of things, but we're not carving out different segments of society to get killed and to get attacked and to get demeaned. And it starts with kids, and it starts in the schools, and it starts with the administrators. Get the wrestling coach, the football coach, and the principal there, and lay the law down. Going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 50. North winds around 5 miles an hour. Highs around 78. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 55. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun Sunday. Decreasing clouds by Monday. Upper 70s Sunday. Low 80s by Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to Mattel and Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go to the lines. The lines are alive. I'm going to get to all of you in order, but you're going to have to limit yourself to 90 seconds each, okay? That will get me in everybody. Start with Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jean?
Thank you, Matt. Great show. One thing I want to point out is I've been noticing that people are starting to refer to Donald Trump as a hoarder, and trying to diminish the significance of all of the documents that he had and even piled up, you know, behind the shower curtain and things like that. So I just want to alert people to that, because this is not basic hoarder. You know, they're trying to downplay it like, oh, maybe it was just, you know, he's a hoarder. So please be alert to that fact, because this is not hoarding. This was putting our country at great risk. So thank you, Matt. You have a really great weekend. Great.
Thank
show.
You. Bye. Yeah, that's a brilliant comment, because he's not just hoarding. He shared that with people who executed our agents by leaving it there, letting them know it, and welcoming spies. That's not hoarding. Thanks a lot. Next up, Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
I'll make it succinct. I wanted to speak in reference to the comments that you had previous about coaches not responding when their students are engaged in racial behavior, race baiting, bad thing to be doing. I would point out that the greatest coach in Wisconsin, but certainly probably within the nation, is Vince Lombardi, who back in the 60s, I've said this before and I'll say it again, led the way on integrating his team, African-Americans, white players, and was adamant that his African-American players were united with his white players. He went on a roll against housing discrimination and discrimination on the team. And it was because, in part, as an Italian-American, he had experienced discrimination. And this went so far in the 60s, Vince Lombardi, whose brother was gay, he loved his brother. Vince Lombardi said to team members of the Green Bay Packers who were gay, if anyone gives you any grief, they're off this team. That is the way you combat it. And you take the example of one of the greatest coaches ever, who created great teams, and it was because everyone worked together and this kind of garbage was not tolerated. Thanks, Matt.
Terrific comments. Thanks an awful lot, Joe. Jim of Eden, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jim?
Yes, hello, Matt. I just want to eat your wanting athletes to be investigated for swastikas and things like that. But at the same time, you know, are you wanting investigation for, like, in Sun Prairie, for an 18-year-old man showing his private parts to young 14-year-old girls in showers?
Yes. Thanks for calling. Stephanie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Hey there. Well, my mind is, and it's been on the diehard Trump supporter, the ones that are just unswerving, they seem unthinking, whatever. I read HuffPost, and there's a one of the features is HuffPost Personal. And the June 15th edition, the section HuffPost Personal, there is a woman who she and her husband worked for Bob Jones University. They were raised evangelical Christians, Southern Baptist. She lost her job because she would not sign a form allowing the school to spank or to hit her kids. Okay, she ended up losing her job. So what she saw, the demonstration of one of the higher up preachers having a little boy come up, and he The preacher demonstrated how to give a spanking, 13 spanks, holding the kid's arm up. But the kid had to totally shut down. He had to say that he had a happy heart. He got spanked, and then he had to give the guy a hug. And the guy says, that wasn't much of a hug.
Well,
the little boy had to really go. So anyway, that, you know,
it's okay.
Losing your ability. Anyway, I'm sorry. Past
okay. Thanks. No, I mean, look, here's the deal. I don't know all the facts of that. And quite frankly, I'm not the whole purpose of the segment is not to comment on any denomination. We're all Americans and we have great people in all denominations. The point of this segment that just was over was to say, let's unify and let's make sure that the people with great credibility in each school stand up against anti-Semitism, against racism, against any kind of bigotry and discrimination. Because when you get in the military, they're not going to put up with it. And I thought Joe Madison's comments were great about Vince Lombardi, the great coach, the greatest coach. I want to conclude on something. You know, we've talked about Ukraine a lot, but I am concerned about any even slight drift in the Republican Party to betray Ukraine and in effect to turn over Eastern Europe to Russia. Let me tell you something. All of the coverage on Ukraine has been, oh, the war, and then there's a counteroffensive, and you think it was the First World War. I mean, you really would. Well, it's not the First World War. It's a genocide, and it's a genocide perpetrated by sadists. Vladimir Putin is a genocidal sadist. He blew up the dam, then he lied, said Ukrainians blew it up. The CIA knows that he blew it up. Some of our national media will go, well, this side said this and that side said that. No, it's like what? Eisenhower said this and Hitler said that? Okay, who cares what Hitler said? That is the analogy. Secondly, in the Crimea, the Ukrainians are doing so well that they're pushing the Russians out of areas and the Russians are sabotaging the factories. So when they go in to try to start them again, provide some employment to produce something, they blow up. This is pure sadism. Now, Trump, because he's on the take from the Russians, is pro-Russia. He's come right out and said he would betray Ukraine. DeSantis is a guy who should be standing up to Trump. I don't like DeSantis on a lot of issues. This guy is such a pathetic, marginal political candidate. He just mimics Trump. He's Trump light on some things. He's not going to get nominated that way, but he's giving credence in the Republican Party to somehow the Republicans should not support further aid to Ukraine. Now, fortunately, Moscow Mitch does support Ukraine. McCarthy went over there to meet with him, and I think he'll support him, but he's trying to suck up to the right wing. But everybody just keep this in mind. We give Zelensky what he needs. We give Ukraine what he needs, because not only is it the right thing to do, it's in the interest of the United States. The Russians have been savages for a long, long time, throughout most of their history. They have murdered people. They've been invaded and murdered themselves. It's like having the Mongols in the 14th century, the 13th century, sweep into your village. There's no morality. They don't act like Europeans, and we have got to stand up for them. Any politician that interferes with that, in my opinion, is betraying the United States and betraying humanity. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show, great passion, great calls. Great calls, as always. Have a good weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn direct. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday. Signing off for today.
Back down. Hey, baby. There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming.